Good morning. Let's see if I can spend a little time here with you. Let's do something different. But just leave it like that, that's fine. Praise God. You know, a lot of stuff was said here today. I want to go to Hebrews 13. If I can find it. Never have been able to do the one-handed thing. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that had a rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now see, that's one of those things people really like. Remember them that have their rule over you. Who are these people? Who are these people? Those that have spoken unto you the word of God. But more clearly and more simply, what Bob was reading earlier, and God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if I had a brain tumor, I would go, well, let me change that. If the average person had a brain tumor, they would normally go to a doctor and they would request the best brain surgeon they could find to operate. Amen? They wouldn't go to a plumber. I mean, some people say it's same thing, I mean, you know. But it's not. See, the apostles and prophets are given to us by God to perfect us. It's not the job of the evangelist to perfect you. It's not the job of the pastor or the teacher to perfect you. Why is this? Because as it says over in chapter 3, 1 through 5, it makes it very clear. That's Ephesians 1 through 5, 3, 1 through 5. It makes it clear that the mysteries of Christ are only given to the apostles and prophets. So they're the ones that are qualified to perfect you. But these mysteries can be given to the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers, who can teach you these things. But in all things, it's Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, you can read verse 13 on your own over in Hebrews. I think it's 17. We hear all the time to love God with all your heart, all your mind and soul, strength. And that's so easily said and so misunderstood. The word love there is agape. It simply means to prefer. You have to prefer God over yourself and everyone else in your life. And it takes all your mind and all your heart and all your strength. It takes everything you have sometimes to prefer God and His way over yourself or your way or your children's or your husband's or your wife's or your friends or somebody else. to put it into practice over these many years that I've seen. I've known a few people, just a few, that preferred my ways and what I said over their own. I've only known a few. And when these people did this, it put me in a very particular, peculiar spot. Because when somebody does that, you have to think. You have to think. You have to be in that spot for them. And the only way you can learn to be in that spot for them is by learning to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Notice it leaves out body. I remember years and years ago, I was sitting in here and a preacher's preach and thought it was great preaching and really good. Got to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and body. Sounded good to me. Until I got to reading it. Body's not there. Why? Because the body's under a curse. It is impossible to love God with a cursed thing. Now, if your body is under a curse, then what is it you've got to rule out when it comes to loving God? Feelings. You cannot let feelings enter in when it comes to loving God, because feelings are of the flesh. Now, does that mean if you're praising God and tears come to your heart and you weep with joy that's to be rejected? No. Receive it. Enjoy it. Praise God for it. Amen. But you cannot use feelings to judge whether or not you're loving God. Wives, you love your husbands. Same thing. If my wife loved me with her feelings, I imagine there'd be times I'd have the distinct impression on the side of my head of Old Hickory cast iron skillet. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes your feelings work against you, if not all the time. So you've got to learn how to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You've got to learn. And it means to prefer Him above everything. In other words, every decision you make, and of course I'm perfect at this. Not really. But every decision you make ought to start with, will this please God? Is this what God would want me to do? Every decision. And you know that not only goes into talking, it goes into answering. Somebody comes up to you and says something to you, you have something to say back. Is it right? Or is it wrong? If you wait and seek the Lord on it first, you'll usually get it right. But if you go by your feelings, you'll usually get it wrong. Amen? Especially if it's something you don't agree with. Now, came up today about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know I've taught and used the example of children in the past. They learn real quick. They go in a store and they see something. Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want this. Mommy says, you don't need it. They learn real quick. Oh, Mommy, I need this. They think by changing the word from want to need, oh, well, okay, you can have it then. It works. It doesn't always work that way, does it, kids? Sometimes you say, I need a thing or I want a thing, and you don't get it, right? That's the same with us. Sometimes we do get it. But in this sentence, in this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means you'll not be without everything you need. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, My people will never lack for bread. I don't remember exactly where it is. Somebody might look it up and find it. But my people shall never lack for bread. And I drive down in El Paso sometimes, and I see these guys with their signs up, begging for food or money, and they're trying to use God as a pull. Look, I believe in God, I'm a Christian, help me. And I wonder, who do I believe? Do I believe the word of God that says my people shall never want for bread? Or do I believe the person that says I'm of God and I want bread because I don't have any? Now see, this is where feelings and emotions really come into play. And some of these guys are pretty good actors. I've watched them. I think the most pronounced one I ever saw one time was at a truck stop. And he'd look, and he'd look, and he'd pray, and he'd look, and he'd pray. He had all kinds of contortions. Try to get people to feel sorry for him. I got news for you. I have never met a Christian in my life that I feel sorry for. Amen? Think of that. I have never met a Christian in my life that I feel sorry for. You want to know who I feel sorry for? Those who don't know Christ. That's who I feel sorry for. And if you are a believer in Christ, and you do have needs of food or raiment or a house over your roof over your head, then maybe what you ought to do is sit down and ask your Heavenly Father, what am I doing wrong? What man of you, having a child ask for a loaf of bread, would give him a rock? Or an egg would give you an adder? If you men who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, think how much more your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Ghost to them that ask. I'm going to give you a little clue here. When it talks about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, the strength, it comes from the Holy Ghost. Strength is power. And the power power of the Holy Ghost is dunamis power. It is self-creating, self-perpetuating. It continues on and on and on and on and on and on and can never be depleted if you allow him to work in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not go hungry. I shall not be naked. I shall not have nothing, no roof over my head. I will always have a place. I will always have food. In all the years since 1972 that I've been a minister, I have never, ever been without a home except one short period. And even then I had a roof over my head. And I had food, I just didn't like it that much. And I asked the Lord, what am I doing wrong here? And he told me, and I said, okay, he fixed it. And boom, next day, I was in a whole different world. But you got to be willing to listen to the Lord. You got to be willing to realize God's not the blame here. God is not the fault when things go wrong. You may not be the fault. Chances are you are. But you may not be. You know what I'm saying? All right, one other thing. One other thing that comes to mind. When we are going through our daily lives and we're seeking to serve God, we have to understand that there is only one faith. Now, one faith is very simple. Jesus Christ died to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not was, am. Jesus Christ died to save you sinners. Everyone listening to me right now is a sinner. You can tell me all you want to. Well, I was a sinner, but now I'm not. You are a liar. And the truth is not in you. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner, and that's how we can love one another, is to realize it's by Jesus Christ and Him alone that we can be saved. Your sin may not be the same as mine. Mine may not be the same as yours. Yours may seem greater than mine to you, and mine may seem greater to me than yours. Or, again, yours could seem greater to me than mine. But it really doesn't matter. Because sin is sin. And to be delivered of that sin, we must die. We can be delivered of the effects of the sin now. But the sin lives in the flesh, and one day the flesh will die. It is said, it is accounted to man once to die, and then the judgment. It is also said see, how does that go? The wages of sin are death. So, I had an 80-year-old Pentecostal preacher tell me one day when I was talking to him that he wasn't a sinner. And I said, well, sir, praise God, I want to shake your hand. He said, why? I said, because I've never met a man that's not going to die. You're going to live forever. You're never going to die. And he said to me, well, of course I'm going to die. Well, then you're a sinner. Because the wages of sin are death. If you didn't have sin, there'd be no wages, would there? See, you get paid to sin. Did you know that? You get paid to sin. It's called death. I don't know about you, but I'm not really interested in that kind of money. I can think of better ways to receive payment, couldn't you? How about eternal life? How about eternal life which comes through Jesus Christ? Because he paid the price for us. And that's the faith, to believe that he took it all, past, present, future, and that by us preferring him over ourselves and everything else, we will stand with him in glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.